Okay, so welcome, Arthur, from Koto, Koto, New York, more commonly known now, to the Untalented podcast. We usually start this in the same way, so I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions, 60 seconds, which you've not been prepared for. So no. Let's see how we get.
All right.
So the first one is best restaurant in New York.
Winson.
Most frustrating app.
On my phone or ever?
Let's go ever.
TikTok.
I'm with you there. Least favorite color?
Some sort of like weird dark orange. You know, like a EasyJet orange.
Oh,
or
God. Favorite brand?
I've got a lot. It's hard to say.
It's a hard question.
Yeah, I think favorite brands is hard. It depends on what level, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm boring.
Dodge that one, but excellently. favorite design agency right now?
There's a lot. Oh my God. I've always liked North.
Okay.
In London.
Yeah.
It's probably not what you expect from.
Absolutely.
From this, but always brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Do I look like a rat or a fish?
A rat or a fish? Probably more fish.
More fish.
I mean, a fish can look good, right? A fish, if you go to the Maldives or something, it's going to be a nice-looking fish. I don't think you'll ever see a really nice-looking rat. So
I'll take that backhanded compliment. Thank you.
Here we go.
city everyone should know about that isn't New York?
Good shout. Oh, God. I mean, I'm very biased, but there's a small city east of France called Strasbourg, where I've got some family there. It's absolutely beautiful. They've got this amazing Christmas market every Christmas,
and
it's worth the trip.
Worth the trip. And then the final one is describe your career in a noise. we've had a lot of like fart themed noises, so it must be a common.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good answer.
It's a great one. So, yeah, that was the 60 seconds.
Cool.
We'll move sort of more into... So, I want to sort of explore a bit about you and kind of your background. Obviously, you've been at Koto for a while now. You're a big part of the growth in London. But you have 8 months ago launched in New York?
Five
months whatever. Ago. Yeah,
I mean, we've been planning this for 2 years.
I know. Yeah,
2020, and then COVID and visa. So
I know.
Just have to be very patient, which was terrible. I'm definitely not a patient person.
Yeah, you finally made it. I remember us speaking and you being like, "I am going. I promise. I'm going to make it out there."
Yeah, I do remember this.
But a nice way to sort of segue into speaking about you, I think that who was the first person who made you feel talented?
Good question. I don't think talented per se, but my ECD at Lindor, it was my first internship
at
Lindor, San Francisco. Said it was good to be different, you know, and one day he grabs me and says, "Let's just have some lunch together." And he spent the whole lunch telling me why it's good I'm different.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he felt something. I wasn't really thinking about it, but I had some doubts. You know, I always have weird ideas, and the execution is odd and weird.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe I need to be like everyone else. And I always felt a bit left out in that way, where everyone was doing so well. And obviously now, with years of experience, I realized that, of course, first of all, it's your first internship. There's no way you can smash this.
Yeah.
But it was good, actually, to be different. And so he tried to push me to be different. So it's not talented per se. I don't think I feel I am talented per se. Like I'm not naturally gifted. But I think there's a difference between talent and effort.
Yeah.
And I think I put a lot of effort in my work.
Yeah, so. And I think that it sometimes takes someone to take you to the side and be like, hey, just so you know, I've noticed something, or I feel something, or you know, it doesn't even have to be like a tangible thing. It can just be like a feeling of
something
different about you.
Yeah, and you don't really realize why.
Yeah,
you know, at school, do you remember when we were younger? Where you actually don't want to be different. You want to be like everyone else. And
absolutely.
I think we spend probably the first 20 years of our life trying to be like everyone else.
Yeah,
and then we spend the next 10, 20, probably 30 years trying to be different and unique. And it's something is shared with me, and I always remember that.
Absolutely. So in terms of like your growth, obviously we've spoken a little bit about Koto London or Koto, you know, Koto. How did the New York sort of expansion come around, and why did you choose New York? Why New York?
I think New York makes sense, right? When we, at least at Koto, we're quite successful in Europe. We have this LA studio that's going really well, and New York is very much a different beast. Where, I mean, the competition here is crazy, right? It's so competitive, and it made kind of sense to be here. And personally, in Koto itself, we've always been interested in being challenged, right? Trying to do things a bit differently. And for me, you come here, and it's going to be probably the biggest challenge of your life. And it maybe comes back to me personally not thinking that I'm that talented, and it's more effort and effort. I want to learn more, and I want to do more. And I'm like, you know, I was very comfortable in London.
Yeah.
I had obviously a good job and a good position. And I'm like, I need to do something else. I need to try something else and to be lost a bit. And so that was a very personal reason. Obviously, New York as a city is amazing.
Yeah.
But I think as part of Koto, it makes sense that we're here. I think we're ready for the fight.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, certainly Koto in London is a force, and a lot of people know Koto. And I think that, you know, in Berlin, obviously you've been doing great things there for 6-7 years now. You've got LA, which is really established. I think New York needed an offshoot of Koto to really put a stamp on the market here.
Also, no one needs you in New York because there's so much amazing studios. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. But you don't matter. So actually, you come in and you feel very humble because it's not because you've been successful in London or LA or Berlin that you're going to be, you know, this big thing. Actually, you need to prove yourself and you need to make a difference. Yeah. That's why we're interested.
And it's probably like, you know, we're less than a year into Koto, New York. But what are your aspirations in the city? Like, what do you see? Where do you see the studio going?
Well, we're going to try to make the best work possible. I think that's what drives us. But we want to make sure that we create a space that people love.
Yeah.
I mean, you and me had a chat last week, right? Yeah. Where we spend so much time together, days, hours. I mean, hours, days, weeks, and months. You need to make sure you create an environment people like.
Yeah.
And so it sounds maybe a bit basic, but a lot of laugh and try not to take ourselves very seriously as well. But like I said again to you a week or so ago, I think we do take the work very seriously. And so it's going to be about finding the right balance. But yeah, making sure we have a studio people love working at. And so far, the feedback has been great.
Yeah.
You know, even people that have joined in for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they go back to their friends being like, this place is great.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a different way of approaching design. So.
Yeah, I definitely felt that when I came into the studio. It was like, it's quite unique to come in. I think, well, I don't know, we met at like 10:30 or something. Yeah. And there was you and one other person. I was like, wow, what's going on? And you were just like, oh, you know, we had, you know, everyone's been working really hard. We should... You know, I've told everyone that they should kind of do their thing, you know, recharge, and then we can come back. And that was quite interesting because I think you go to, visit, you know, quite a few agencies, and there's often not that flexibility for people to kind of not be themselves, but just to have that level of respect to be like, okay, I hear you and I see that you've been smashing it. Let's like regroup and kind of come back with, you know, more. Focus, which I think is really cool.
I've been in this position where you work until 3 to 4 a.m., which was the case on this big campaign we did for the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Delivery, and we need to absolutely smash it. Mm. And then people expect you to be there the next day at 9 a.m. after weeks and weeks of hard work, and you're completely burn out. And for me, doesn't make a difference where you come in at 9 or you say, come in at 10:30, just do your own thing.
Yeah.
Just relax. If you want to be in the studio and do something else, do it. If you want to have breakfast, do it.
Yeah.
And actually, you saw this. We all came in
and
actually we had a little moment with you where we shared what we were doing.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think that's always what I wanted from work. And I think there is a different way of working.
Absolutely.
As long as you smash it, right?
Yeah.
As long as the work is done. And they really understand this balance and the challenge that we have, which is, A, the work is great, you can have this.
Yeah.
But if you don't deliver, then that's of a different course. Story. But so far, so good.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, good talent is so hard to come by now, and you've got to look after your team.
Yeah.
You know, it's I think if you, as a, you know, as a designer, creative, you know, copywriter, whatever it is, if you don't feel like the business you're working into supports you and values you, I think that you get burnt by that, and actually it, you know, it hurts.
Even more now, right, with COVID, where people want something else from life, and that's completely fine. So you need to make sure that they feel supported and kind. And it doesn't, I mean, it comes from me a bit, but not so much. You know, Kodo is a great place for that. The founders were behind all of this kindness and support, making sure that, you know, we feel loved and listened to. And so I'm just trying to bring this DNA to New York.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that I you know, worked with Koto for a few years now. And I think that, you know, the consistently there's always been a really good, you know, the culture of the business is really strong and important. And I think that must be like, how do you instill a culture into a satellite office, a new offering? What is there a way to do that?
I think you need to have a vision, and you need to make sure that you want to bring some bits from the other studios, which is, for me, kindness and support and making sure I'm here for the team. But you can't force a culture.
Yeah.
The London culture is quite different than the New York. I think the working culture is similar, but at least the culture itself is different. And before I moved here, a lot of people said, don't try to push it. Don't try to force it. What you have in London is going to be different because people have different background. The city is different. And so you got to kind of like actually step back and understand the new people that are, you know, the new sort of combos that are happening. And and so far it's been good. I love it because it still feels like Kodo. When we have people traveling here, they're like, oh yeah, it does feel like us. But in a nice way, in a nice and different way, probably a bit more silly.
Yeah, cool. I think, and it's good, like character builds in different ways, you know, and kind of the identity of a business is organic. You can't micro-engineer people to be a certain way, you know, it kind of evolves in its own interesting way. As a studio that is new to the city, what sort of are the biggest challenges you faced in sort of launching in New York?
Competitiveness.
Yeah.
Making sure, how do you have a voice when you're not needed? I think is big. I think you need to come to New York with this idea of like being different.
Yeah.
Because if you try to be like everyone else, or try to be like this or like that, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
You know? And this is what we say to brands as well when they come to us and we go through, you know, strategy, immersion, and the whole thing. It's like, stop looking at everyone else and stop mentioning Klarna again, because they all do that. You want to be different. You need to have your own voice. And it starts about defining what you want from the studio, or what you want from, you know, the startup or your audience. And actually, I use this in my life as well. You know, this is something I do for Kodo. It's like, we need to be different. We need to be us. Mm. We don't try to be different for the sake of it, but there's no point, right, trying to be like this or that. And I do that in my life as well, where I just do my thing and that's it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously Unknown has recently, you know, launched over here and is working with some, you know, with some new clients to us. I think that a lot of our early kind of challenges were often about kind of proving ourselves. And I think that the New York market is definitely a market where people want to kind of know what your worth is and what you've done, what you can achieve. And I think that those initial first early conversations were like challenging, because it's like, well, you know, we've done great stuff here and here, but it's like, but what about New York? And I think that I imagine that's quite a common theme across the board, of like being like, okay, we'll show us what you've done and then we let's speak, kind of thing.
It's the same in football, soccer.
Yeah.
Where you can play anywhere, and then when you go to Premier League, that's actually the real test.
Yeah.
And for me, and, you know, that, I think for me, it's exactly the same here.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've been successful, because it's a different beast. It's so competitive. And you have the great studios. There's so many, right? You can just count them on so many, you know.
Yeah.
20, 25, 30 studios that are doing incredible work. But there's obviously the big guys as well, the Apple, the Google, the Spotify. And we have that, and we had that in London, but it's not to this size. Mm. And they're very compelling here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's true. Like, I think the competition, especially within that kind of branding space, is huge here. And the variety of businesses as well. You've got, you know, very traditional, you know, very craft-driven branding agencies. And you've also got, you know, kind of more digitally led agencies, but, you know, much similar to Koto. But then you have, you know, heavy, pure digital businesses that only, you know, and so there's a huge variety and size as well. You've got small,
insane.
It is crazy. But I think that a common theme that I'm hearing is there's lots of work to be done here. You know, I think there's an appetite for good work, which I think exists in other cities, but it feels like it's been supercharged within New York. Like, people really appreciate good work here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. But I do think New York is very similar to London in that way, but kind of bigger. You know, this the intensity is bigger here. But yeah, I agree. I think that's why you need to be humble. Mm. You need to come in and be like, I'm going to work as hard as possible, which normally if you come to New York, that's what you need to aim for.
Yeah.
But you just have to wait and just keep going and going, because it's going to take years. And if you're not ready for the ride, then probably don't do it.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think, you know, consistently people are sort of speaking about New Yorkers like riding a bull and, you know, hanging on. And, you know, it's amazing for so many reasons. But I think that you have to be prepared to really hang on tight. You'll get lost. A sort of interesting question is, what do you feel the difference is between good and great work? Like, what makes that kind of change?
I think good work, good design, I assume, and there's also good strategy in that, is probably sitting at the surface a bit, you know, a really nice looking graphic design where, you know, it looks great, but is it going to pass the test of time? I don't know. Mm. And I think for me, great design doesn't need to be trendy, doesn't need to follow any trends again, but is trying to answer a challenge probably, or like a problematic, a goal. Like, you know, there's always that when we have new clients, and it's the same with obviously talents, is what are you trying to achieve? Yep. And I think that great design will try to do it and will never look at, you know, it needs to look like this, or we need to look like that. It's just going to try to do its thing and it's going to adapt. And so that's my vision as well.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the way we roll at Koto. You know, all the project that we do feel very different. You know, of course, it's optimistic and it's colorful because, you know, we're a creative studio. And so I think being creative, you kind of need to be in that world, as much as obviously there's some things that need to be a bit more sophisticated. Yeah. But I think the whole thing, it starts with a problem, or it starts with a challenge or a goal. And I think that if you don't have that in the back of your mind, you're going to do really good design, but it's never going to be great.
Yeah, no, it's true. So I am definitely seeing a trend, and I think that it's maybe off the back of like the visas being fine again and people getting here, but there seems like a real offshoot of British or London-based or European-based agencies that have made a transition here.
Yeah.
Are you feeling that? Yeah, that same thing?
I've seen this.
Yeah. I do you think it's pure like visa thing, or do you think there's something more than that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it comes back to what we said. Maybe people want to be challenged in a different way. And they realize that New York is the city. Also, when you come from London, I think New York makes sense because it's the same, but a bit, you know, a bit bigger and a bit crazier, even though I've got things to say about this because summer has been lovely and chill. But is it easier probably to come here than actually San Francisco? That is so crowded and it's a bit... Sorry for the language.
No, you're good.
And that's also why we picked LA, like Koto, because it felt very much us.
Yeah.
More than this. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's not just like within branding, you know, we're speaking to sort of advertising agencies or sort of, you know, like product design businesses who are coming out here. And I think that's like, I don't know whether there's anything more than just like, maybe there was a group of agencies that all launched at the same time, or everyone's on the same trajectory, or... It's just interesting. Like, we've met a few different businesses who are coming here at the same time. And I think that, I wonder if there's like a I wonder if it's like a kind of survival of the fittest of the European rank.
A bit. Also, when you when you look at the startup hub in New York and the East Coast, it is so big.
Yeah.
And when you come to New York, obviously New York is the focus, but there's so many more cities, right? Boston, Philadelphia, Miami, and so when you take actually all of them,
yeah,
it's huge. Yeah. It's probably as huge as the West Coast, because the West Coast is very much San Francisco and the Bay Area, and there's obviously a bit of LA, but the East Coast is incredible.
Yeah,
and actually when you compare that to Europe, it's much bigger, and so. Some people think there's something there. Mm. You know, there's something for them to make a really good business and to find the talents. And I think it's a thing that everyone thinks that New York has the best talent in the world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a discussion that I've been having for the last 2 weeks. It's like there is insanely talented people here, you know, but there is insanely talented people in lots of cities. And I think it's not arrogance, but there's a level of confidence about creatives here, which I think that they know the caliber of work is high. So yeah, it's like an interesting, but I think there's also a real need I think the US has been taking kind of diversity very seriously for longer than we have over in London. And I think that has produced like a really interesting kind of creative. You know, I think that we're seeing like a real variety of people. But I think in the design space, I think that I'm interested to sort of hear your thoughts on this, but it does seem there's a level of kind of... do you think there's like a pedigree of school? Do you think that that people don't get the same opportunities here if they've gone to different schools?
Hard for me to say after five months, but at least I could. We don't care about school.
Yeah,
we actually never look at resume.
Yeah, yeah.
In the portfolio, it's like I think I told you a few times. Like, don't send me the resume. I don't care because. I think we're trying to keep that away. It doesn't matter where you come from.
Yeah.
And actually, we're looking at talents that are not part of the kind of expected schools, whether it's here, LA, you know, in Europe as well. Because you want people to have a different perspective on life and also on the work. Because you tend, and that's completely fine, but you tend to see folio come in from these schools and they all look the same because they had the same teachers and they learned the same thing. And actually, we, at least in New York, and we're doing that everywhere, but something is super important to me is, you know, I want people that are unexpected, that probably are not from the branding sort of background.
Yeah.
And the diversity thing is really important as well to us, and making sure we get people, you know, from every background and not just people that had the chance to, you know, pay for schools or had the tuition or whatever it is. So
absolutely.
It maybe matters to... other studios or other people? I don't think so much, but at least to us, definitely not. And like I said, we'd never look at resume.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it was like when I came in to see you, you know, you had a design director who spent some time in Droger, and it's like not a lot of, you know, that crossover doesn't happen that often. And I think that it was cool to see that, you know, face to face. I think, what do you think is the biggest difference for you between being here and being in London? What is the biggest shift in yourself maybe that you've seen?
Maybe a higher sense of responsibility. At least I could have.
Yeah.
Definitely not in my life. At least I could have. I think you feel responsible toward Kodo.
Yeah.
And also the team also that's working with me. So
making
sure we have projects, making sure the team is happy, making sure the... you know, the rest of Kodo is proud also because we work really well as one entity.
Mm.
And so it's not so much good. Like, obviously, I'm representing Kodo New York right now, but more Kodo, you know. And so we want to make sure people love the studio because at some point, a lot of them are going to come and work here.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are going to come visit. And I've done that and everyone is doing it. And so it is important to me to make sure they're proud of what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you want to leave a sort of your stamp or a legacy, right, on something. And I think that it's easy to kind of get lost in the weeds of like starting something. You know, I think that, you know, building this team is going to be much about getting people on, you know, fighting for Kodo, because you're at the start, you're at probably the most aggravating time in your growth here, because once the name is, you know, more, you know, associated with projects, I think that, you know, you've probably gone through the toughest part, which is, you know, those first 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, the road is long, you know, it's going to take ages, but it's true. We're also trying to build everything together, or whether it's going to be the next studio and whether it's where we're going for lunch or something. And so I try to make them understand that we're building this together. And, and for me, it's the best way to actually get talent, because you get the chance to build something new with Koro behind, right? Where, you know, you've got the expertise. We know how to build other studios. We've done it really well. And, and what a place to work out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that, I came, so it's kind of similar to you. I tried to move here sort of 3.5 years ago. It didn't really happen. But there's, I vividly remember the first time I came to New York, I got into a taxi and I was sort of driving from JFK and I was like, holy shit, this is like, I just got this like overwhelming feeling of just like, this is so fucking cool that I'm here. Have you had like a moment like that?
Yeah. I've got it. In 2016, I surprised my girlfriend with a trip to New York. She had no idea, never been to New York.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend too much time in detail. I faked the whole thing, said we were going to Stockholm. I bought a fake guide. I created on Photoshop a fake ticket to Stockholm. The whole thing was completely crazy. People was like, you just went too far.
Yeah.
And then I think there's the anticipation of it and the fact it was a big surprise and she was so happy. And then we arrive in Williamsburg. We stayed in Williamsburg and it was really beautiful. December, but like crazy nice.
Yeah.
Sunny in the sky, actually quite warm. And then we looked around and we're like, we just need to work here.
Yeah. It does do that to you though, doesn't it?
Want to do things, you know, you want to be entrepreneur. You become really ambitious also because the city goes quite fast. You're like, if I go too slow, I'm going to be left behind in some ways.
Yeah.
I'm going to have things to say about this because summer has been so chill and relaxed. And I was surprised that people seem more relaxed here than they are in London.
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely get you. Yeah. I came here and it was this energy about the city and I'm like, I just need to do it.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, there's lots of like preconceptions of what New York is and, you know, people being rude and, you know, not having,
they've been lovely so far.
Yeah, I know, it's just like, what's everyone been lying about this? It's like, is this something that like people who are here are just like, we don't want any more people, so we'll just tell them everyone's,
look, if you go to Times Square, yes, it's gonna be shit, but it's the same if you go to Oxford Street in London.
Absolutely,
or the Champs-Élysées in Paris.
Yeah, no, it's true. I was chatting to someone who described Times Square as like as a moth lamp for humans. it's like you get there and you're just stuck because this light is just in front of you. But I was like, that is an amazing analogy for what Times Square actually is.
That's great.
I've actually only been once in my whole life and I'm happy probably not to go through that.
We had to go back a few times because we are working with the Washington Post right now. It's live and we did this huge campaign.
You said.
And we had to go like 5 times in 2 weeks. And so that's pretty intense. And sometimes you have to wait because we're trying to shoot the creative as well right now. And pretty intense.
Yeah, I think, it's...
good to see once.
Yeah, it is, and it's like, but I can forget what do we have in London, which is like, I
suspect Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah, and it's like, if you go back there now after being here, it's like, what is it? Why
did
people
come
here?
Yeah, it's a bit pathetic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of like yourself, you know, your own growth, do you think that anything's like you've learned anything new about yourself, or you've kind of evolved? I know it's like six, seven months. Like, do you feel a difference in yourself after being here?
I mean, the sense of responsibility feels a bit more mature. Probably not ready to have a dog or a kid, but no, I'm joking. But yeah, a bit more like this. Actually, really thinking about the team all the time,
every day. Yeah.
And I was obviously very focused on my team in London, but it was much bigger and there's so many other people you can rely on. Mm. And then when there's no one else you can rely on, and saying that, you can always, you know, call it, which is amazing, that you can always call the founders at Koro like anytime, and I'll answer, they'll travel, they'll do anything, which is great, and any other employees. But I do have this sense of, right, I need to take care of this.
You know,
I need to make sure that we have this work that comes in and we need to make sure that this is going well because the budget of it. So a lot of thinking, but I try to be chill about it.
Yeah.
I know how to do it. You know, I've been doing it for years and years, and now it's just time to do it by myself.
Yeah.
And look, doubt is big.
Yeah. You know,
doubting yourself is, I think we all do that.
Of course, yeah.
And every day I'm like, am I good enough for this? You know, like, is that right? And but again, I feel so supported by the team that, no, we're actually doing something good.
You do seem like the sort of person to kind of... to not, it's like there's an unflappability to your kind of personality where I think that even if something really terrible happened, I think you've managed to sort of laugh through it and just get, you know, get through it, which I think is like a really endearing trait in, like, you know, as someone who's within your team, to be like, I think we're going to be fine. You know, this is going to be good. We'll get through this. And I think that, you know, we've all worked for people who are the opposite of that, and it's the most anxiety inducing experience because you're just like, why are you freaking out so much? This seems to be fine.
I don't think if your boss is stressed and anxious, damn, what does it say for the rest of the team?
Yeah.
Because normally the person that, you know, is the leader or manage you or do or whatever, it doesn't have to be just, you know, the leadership.
Yeah.
It's just like you're a junior and you see the senior being stressed, you're like, oh my god, he's stressing.
There's
a reason behind it, and I don't know. And I've had that where people actually stress you out of nothing. It's like, calm down.
Yeah.
And I've said it, we take the work very seriously. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't go well, like a presentation happens sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. You know,
we're very collaborative with our clients. And so we'll just sit down with them and be like, okay, tell us what didn't work.
Yeah.
Fine. Why don't we just try to make it even more collaborative where we work together and we try to understand you. It's been like so far, we've been doing this for years, and that's the reason why we actually don't have a new business person at Koto, because people like working with us only because we're trying to treat this as a relationship more than just we're going on the side and we're going on our way for 3 months, 3 weeks, and we're coming back, we're like, ta-da, this is it. We're like, we chat to them every day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, at the end of the day, we're just making logos, and so you gotta just chill a bit.
As
much as you're trying to help businesses, some of our clients are trying to actually cure cancer, and they're trying to fix, you know, social inequalities. But I mean, fuck this, you know. Of course I'm gonna work like crazy, and I'm gonna try to do everything for them to reach that end goal. But myself, just the color palette and logos and strategy, these are still big things. You can't just take yourself seriously. It's, you can fix that. You know, it's not like you're a surgeon and you fuck that up and the guy is dead. There's always a way around. So
do you think that the sort of purposeful nature or the kind of the ethical nature of work makes you put more into it, but do you think it gives like a different value to that work when you're doing it if you know that the cause is good?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And as much as we want to work with people like that all the time, there's also obviously other people that are just trying to do things that are probably not as purposeful, but as exciting as well. Whether it's, you know, revolutionizing the way we consume tech, or whether it's the same with food, or there's so many really interesting things.
Yeah.
And for me, as long as we work with people that are driven by something, and it can be as small as it is, it could be, I just want to make sure people work better, you know, or I'm more relaxed, that's great.
And
I want to make sure that we work with people that are driven and that understand and are passionate, because we're all very passionate about the work that we do. And so the name, the size, what they do doesn't matter, as long as we have this relationship. And this is something that we really focus on actually when we pick our clients. We're lucky that we can actually sometimes pick our clients, and we'll always go with people that are driven, even though the name is not as big as another one. That would be like, wow, that would be great for the portfolio, but they don't seem like nice people.
Yeah. And from like a casting criteria of clients, like what would be, we'll start with what would be like a dream project for Koto New York?
Well, going back full circle, someone that is a company that is driven. Owners or the team that we're working with that are passionate about what they do. And you don't have to cure cancer to be interesting.
Yeah.
It can be anything. And right now, the clients that we have in New York, whether it's one-click checkout or a really nice app, a digital app for dentists, or the Washington Post, and there's more, we're also working with Instagram a bit. Damn, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so great, because they're trying to, you know, do something very different in their own way. And the team loves working with us, and they love the way that we work. And it means everything to me.
And
that's so a lot of people ask, oh, what kind of client do you want to do? It's like, the client are cool and the client that are nice and want to be different as well, and they don't come in being like, I want to be like Klarna or I want to be like this person.
We're
trying to push them to be always distinctive.
It must be frustrating to always get the same reference points as well from businesses. You're just like, can we just maybe like explore, you know, the market a little bit more? Yeah, I think that, you know, the clients can really make or break, you know, the team at times. I think, you know, frustrations can be rife with difficult clients, and I think if the more you can avoid that, the better.
But you have to be resilient.
Yeah,
you know, it happens all the time where you, as much as we're trying to, it just doesn't work out, or there's something wrong in, and that's completely fine. That's the nature of what we do. But you can't give up. You know, it's going to teach you a lot about how to deal with difficult conversations or complicated feedback, or how to deal with the vibe of the team as well. Because you can't just work with people that are just had enough and they're like, just next. So be resilient. And being in New York, you and me just talked about this. You need to be resilient and you need to be ready to be challenged. And I think the best answer again is to be open-minded and to sit down with the clients or a talent or whatever and be like, let's just try to figure this out together.
Yeah. I think it's always interesting to consider what the sea of sameness and what people believe and what people don't. And I think that what is something that everyone believes that you don't? Like where do you feel that there's a difference in opinion about something?
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't have such a divisive opinion on stuff. I don't think everyone thinks this, and I think the opposite. But I don't think, well, it's going to be a longer answer than it seems, but I don't think remote work is the way forward.
Okay, yeah.
I understand the need for it because, I mean, it's great. You know, imagine some people live afar and they live so far from a city, or it's been complicated to go to. That's amazing that you can actually do the remote thing. But the best work is done together, hands down.
Yeah.
The best creative work, at least, is done together. It's much easier because you and me have been talking about this for a bit now. It's all about the culture. It's about like a simple way of working as well, where you can just stand up, walk two steps, and then tap, tap, tap. Hey, what's up? What are you doing? Do you want to chat now? Great.
Yeah.
And so being like, hey, do you want to chat? Should I send you the Zoom call? Okay, wait, oh, the link is wrong. And it's not the same where you're just working all together. Again, going back to this because it's very recent, but the Washington Post, when we work really late, we're just all around screens.
Yeah.
And actually, when you wait for something to render, you're just doing something else.
Yeah,
And whether it's actually working or just having food, it's key.
Yeah,
And it was hard during COVID to work. Obviously, we had to, and that's completely fine.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I realized that I could have done this. You know, I could have stayed remote. You know, you feel very comfortable at home. And you go back to the studio the first day, and you're like, wow, thanks God. I actually can leave now at, you know, 6 p.m. because that thing that took me 2 hours and a half to deal with when I was remote, which is waiting for the link, now I can do it in like a split second.
I think creatively as well, I think that there is, you know, there's divisive opinion about remote work, and I think that there is pros and cons on either side. But I don't think there's a way that you can, from a remote perspective, generate those moments of like weird creativity that happen when you look at someone's screen and you think, wait, that's cool, what's that? Or like, maybe we could do this, or show, like, I don't think you can micro-engineer that in a digital way, in a remote way.
And you see like, you see so many different projects on other people's screens, and you're like, oh, what is it? Oh, great, like, I've seen this reference, you can't do this. And when I was remote, actually, you kind of lose this, where you're just focusing on yourself and your work. You don't talk to people, you don't see what they do. Yes, at Coda, we're very good at like sharing stuff, so we all connect on Fridays just to make sure, you know, we still, well, share the work and just, you know, say hi. We're very close in that regard. But I don't know. I don't think everyone thinks remote work is the way forward. And I do think it's nice and it's important. And we do have some people remote right now because life. But I'm trying to build a studio where people are working. And they love it. And it's funny how quick people would actually go back to the studio when we tried to get the team sorted in New York when we were here. And so a lot of the team right now were like, not sure about coming in the studio. Maybe I'll do it like once a week. And I was like, just come once. Yeah. Just do it once. Yeah. And then after once, they came every day.
Yeah,
we tried to be very flexible about this as well. We know the world we live in is very different than what it was three years ago. And so we're not going to be the kind of people being like, you need to come every day.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't have to come every day right now. We do a 4 day a week kind of principle. But I know when people are very used to working in their own bedroom, we're like, come 2 days a week, come 3 days a week, and then slowly but surely actually get them back for full time.
Yeah, and I think also I have a theory, which may or may not be true, but I'm going to share it anyway. But I think that the fully remote agencies or what's come out of this has bred a real difficulty for like introverted human beings. Because if you're an introvert, you're probably not going to go to someone digitally over an email with a stupid question because so I think that we're going to really suffer with highly creative designers who a lot are introverted in their nature, not being nurtured to be the best they can be in a remote environment. I think we're really going to see like extroverted people winning, which we need flexibility of human beings in studios.
And that's one of the things that shocked me in a good way about Kodo, my first week or first month or even first year, when you join in, everyone is different. And we got the big extroverts, and we got also people that are very quiet and shy, and we got everything from all the different adjective, which is incredible. And the thing I liked, because that's what you think, extrovert are going to be the ones that go through, etc. And you actually see that it doesn't matter, at least at Kodo. And it's great to see people just growing and growing and growing to this point where it's like, wow, this creative director or this client services, it's so different than the other one. And so every time you work with a new team on a new project, it feels like you're working somewhere new, because the vibe is very different, but they're all working toward the same goal, and they all share the same interest in the culture as well. So it's amazing. That's why remotes
I think that's
extent.
Like creative environments as a whole, like they're great places to work if they're set up to support people. I think they can, people can be kind of burnt with that environment. In terms of like trends, I don't really like talking about trends because it's kind of, it's a trend.
Yeah.
But like, what do you think, what change is currently happening in the industry or the world around us that no one's noticing? Is there something that people are like missing that is happening right now?
In terms of trends, I don't know. But I've got something actually where I think we have, there's a lot of young talents that are hustling right now, crazy, to challenge or take over the studios of today.
Yeah.
Kodo and the Collins and N Walsh and et cetera. And I think we have to stay sharp and we have to stay curious, because they're coming after us. And as much as we're very successful today, all of us, and there are 10, 15, 20, 30 and more very successful studios today, how many are going to be a story of the past tomorrow?
Yeah.
And so I push Kodo, and we're not just me, but everyone at Kodo, we're trying to stay very sharp, because it happened exactly the same way with Kodo.
Yeah.
Where we came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden you take clients away, and we can see that with much younger studios, the Porter, Roca and Holder and whatever. I'm probably missing obviously a few here and there, but it came out of nowhere and they're taking clients from me. And so how many people right now are hustling at school or in the next 5 years or 10 years, and they will take over us or other people? And
absolutely.
So I think you can't be lazy, you can't be you need to be humble, and it's all about consistency. You need to keep going, and you need to work hard, because they're coming. So I'm very intrigued, and I love that, by the way. I love this being challenged again in that way. It's the best way to stay on it. And so
I think there's like, I don't know if it's like the barrier to entry for agencies is kind of not more straightforward, but I think people feel more confident starting their own things yeah. now at an earlier age.
That's great.
I think yeah, which is awesome. Yeah. And I don't know whether when you started out there was as much of a culture of starting your own independent like collective with
no,
two mates.
No, not so much. But that's great when you see these young guys just killing it. It's so good. Mm. That's everything I ever wanted, you know, to see this. And I think in New York is probably the best place to witness that. So more, because it's going to push us to be better and more consistent.
Yeah, and I think that it just keeps everyone fresher, right? Mm. It keeps everyone looking around to be like, okay, well, how do we stand out here? How are we truly different to everyone else? And I think that, you know, it's
And that's where you need to, be unique.
Yeah. Right?
That's where you need to stop looking at other people being like, I want to be this, I want to be that.
Yeah.
Because in the long run, it's not going to make a difference. And so I feel very comfortable with what we're doing at Kodo, because I know we're doing something different. And as much as we're trying to get inspired by all of these guys, we're also trying to do our own thing. And yeah. I think for me, it's the best way to be relevant in the next 10 or 15 years.
You could... So obviously we've spoken about a few of the kind of your competitors within the New York market. What do you think Koto's like special sauce is? What do you think that you've talked about uniqueness and, you know, and kind of a different vibrancy to work, or is there something else that, you know, that makes you guys stand out?
Very optimist, I think. Very positive. I think I've said that already, but I think there's a vibe at Kodo where, yeah, we don't take ourselves very seriously. We take the work very seriously, but we're so passionate about what we do that we'll always try to do more. And whether it's with the client or whether it's for the internal team or something else, I think there's something very special. And this way of working that you've witnessed, you know, last week where is people first. For me, the most important thing of all is my people, is the people of Kodo. If they're not happy, I'm not going to be happy. And so we build the whole company around that. We want to make sure they love working with us. We want to make sure that we can be silly and have fun and laugh, but also we know life gets in the way sometimes. And so we'll always have 20, 30, 60 minutes to have a walk, a chat, and to chat about things that are very important, and making sure they also feel empowered to grow. And myself included, you know, I had big dreams. You know, I always wanted to do more, and I wanted New York, and I felt supported along the way, even though I joined as a freelance 5-something years ago, and they understood that and just helped me, you know, get there. So a lot of studios, I bet, are doing very similar things, and we're not so unique, but for me, that way of working is very different, at least from what I hear, and so I would never change that.
Yeah. What are you scared of about New York?
I'm scared of myself mostly, more than New York. You know, am I capable of this? And it's so, like, it's so a self, you know, perception. It's so bad when you think about it.
Yeah.
Am I gonna f that up? Like, am I just made for this? It's not because you want it that you can be made for this. I'm going to try as much as or as hard as I can. But yeah, you have to stay humble and you got to hustle. So that's the thing I'm worried about. But I also know I've got an amazing team behind me. And so things don't go our way or my way. We'll always have some people just help and jump and travel to me and do something to make
sure.
It work.
Yeah, for sure. You are surrounded by, you know, a good bunch, and you know them all so well now after your time.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that really does feel like you've got each other's back, which is a really unique globally, you know, because you spent so much time with Joey, you spent so much time with James, Tim as well. Like, you know all of those guys super well, and you're spread out so far geographically,
and it feels so like they just feel part of the team, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Right, it's you can just text someone at like 11 p.m like, call 5 minutes, you know, I'll just call you, and there's probably 2 minutes of work and 10 minutes of being just us and chatting about life, and I love that. I think it's something, at least to me, very different.
Yeah. And you need it at this point.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to potentially one of our favourite sections. It's the weirdest section for sure.
Okay.
But we I want you to, it's called Elephant Vomit. We've kind of spoken about this. Weird name. Anyway.
I'm good with that.
I'd love to know something that you hate. Think of Room 101 if you've ever watched Room 101. What is something that you hate that you want to tell people about?
I'm going to be boring here. Okay. There's not so many things I hate. Let me think. I don't hate it, but I'm going to say something. Some people are going to be like, what the fuck? I don't understand vegan.
Okay. Wow. This is a good one. Okay.
I think I completely understand veggies. Yep. It's fine. And some people that are vegan listening to this are going to hate me, but fuck this. I don't understand why you're doing this to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think not liking meats or fish for very different reason, whether it's personal reason, whether it's the environment, whether it's taste, whatever, that's completely fine. But I think, why vegan? I think it's so, it's first of all, it's hard for your body because our body is not made to be vegan. Mm. And I think the reason I hate it is not so much to be vegan, because I had vegan food in the past and it's good. I think it's probably the vibe, you know, the people behind. It's always that, right?
It's
always
It's the passionate like anti.
And telling you off because you like steak or you like fish. Yeah. And like, well, do your life and I'll do mine.
Do you wanna, I've just thought of my next one, and this is a weird one. I actually hate melon.
Okay.
Like, I know it's a weird thing to hate, but I
do like melon. So yeah, let's chat.
But like, it's any melon. It's like watermelon, normal melon. It's like I'm not a melon person.
I've got one now.
Okay.
I hate avocado.
Do you?
I hate it.
Wow.
It's not my. I just can't the texture, and it's funny when I lived in San Francisco.
Thing. Yeah.
And you know, you get like a sandwich to take away, and I would literally always ask with avocado, and people were like, just pick the wrong city, mate, because it's like California and also here in New York. I've got one.
You got one.
I hate avocado.
Well, thank you very much. I think pleasure. That's like, you know, it was great to hear about more about, you know, Koto's expansion into New York. I'm genuinely really excited for you. I think that you've built a really interesting team already in 6 months. And I think that, you know, you've got a great opportunity to put an awesome stamp on the New York market. And hopefully we can help you do that. So that'd be But yeah, thank you, Arthur. It was a great chat.
Thank you.
That's the pod done.